Some of you are aware that my brother Michael, who is 4 years older than I am, was diagnosed several years ago with Parkinson's disease. And so I wanted to know more about it and read about it in a book called The Brain's Way of Healing. The book is about the power of the human brain to heal itself and to change itself. The author recommends for Parkinson's patients a boot camp to get them going as co-contributors to the management of their disease and to get them out of the trap of thinking that the treatment involves only taking their pill. He goes on to say, telling Parkinson's disease patients that they have a movement disorder and leaving it at that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think there is a parallel idea in our gospel today in that we are enlisted to be contributors to the coming of God's kingdom and to do it now. Instead of just lamenting our disease or asking God to fix it with some quick fix, we become co-contributors to the management of what has become a toxic environment. We are even co-contributors to the eradication of the toxins. The kingdom of God is supposed to be a place of healing and forgiveness. It is not, though, something that is imposed on the world by God, but it is offered to us. And we have the free will to reject it or, unfortunately, to distort it. We have a gospel story today in which the net fills with fish. When the fishermen drop their nets as guided by Jesus, we become co-contributors to creating this new place when we are guided by what Jesus asks us to do. So, what are we called to do to not only celebrate our salvation, but to take part in the breaking in of the kingdom? Where does Jesus urge us to put down our nets? Jesus urges us constantly to forgo resentment and move on. And when we do that, the kingdom of God slips a little closer to us. When we unite with other people instead of dividing ourselves from them, the kingdom comes a little bit closer. When we choose forgiveness over anger, we have become co-contributors to this breaking in of the kingdom of God. Now, this response calls us to do something that is completely foreign to the modern American psyche. We have to go against self-interest sometimes. We have to think of others first. The reading from Isaiah gives us a hint that if you do what God asks you to do, you're not exactly going to blend in. Even if you only do it in moderate form, you are going to stick out in our modern culture. We all see what brings attention to people. It's usually destructive behavior, criticism, one-upmanship. But we, as guided by Jesus, turn the other way. Sometimes we have a perfectly valid reason to hit back, metaphorically. But we choose to forgive, or at least to move on. In our culture, people will think you are weak if you act this way. Matthew's gospel even goes so far as to tell us to love our enemies. Matthew says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have?" Now, as I've mentioned before, some of us admittedly are remarkably easy to love. Some of them are not so much. When we speak of enemies in our world today, in our culture, we mostly just mean something that is relatively mild. People who disagree with us, people who hurt our feelings, who harm our business interests, or who marginalize those we love. But when Jesus spoke to listeners of their enemies, he was speaking of people who would kill them, who would oppress them and enslave them. So if he is advocating that with true enemies who would harm us in physical ways, he certainly is advocating that we try to love the people who hurt us in those milder ways. If we do not try to love the unlovable, we keep fishing where we want to, and then we wonder why our nets are continually empty. I'm sorry to say that we as a culture have embraced, often with great glee, the tearing down of other people, of other political views, of other faiths, of other opinions. We fish constantly in the waters of dissent and argument and division. And then we wonder why the presence of our loving God has so little impact on the mean and violent world. We wonder why we're not catching anything that can feed us. Today, who are the unlovely? The people we must choose to love if we are to build God's kingdom. Jesus tells us to love our enemies. Only then are we able to let that kingdom continue to broaden in our own culture. The categories that are often named in Scripture as groups that we are to try to embrace are the poor, the refugees, and political opponents, even those who would hurt us. Jesus on the cross forgave those who were torturing him and killing him. Jesus loved his enemies. It is the only way to build something, to progress in a different way that brings in the kingdom. Now, this attempt at being loving comes fairly easily when we feel valued and comforted and healed. It does not come so easily when we feel dismissed or threatened or wounded. Our instinct in American culture is for strength and self-reliance, but we carry that desire for strength too far. We would rather be right than to take the time, effort, and humility to be in relationship with the other. We prefer the self-righteousness of conflict. Our current climate encourages not only hate, but the sharing of hate with others like a contagion. And if we do that, if we insist on division, we will never find peace. We will work and work and work and still find ourselves with an empty net. If we somehow can practice loving the unlovable, we begin to make a contribution to fixing our own disease. And if not, we simply maintain our own place and our own agenda. Do we want to be loving human beings, aka Christians, or not? Are we willing to put down our nets where Jesus directs us? In the deep water of Christian baptism? Following Jesus sounds so good in church, but it is extraordinarily difficult. I keep thinking, I cannot possibly live that way. And it's true, alone I cannot do it. But as we say in our baptismal covenant, and we will say when we baptize little Jackson Shepherd Dent, I will with God's help. We have free will. We are perfectly welcome to ignore Jesus' direction and to fish wherever we want with our divisiveness and our fear and our resentment. That is absolutely our choice. That unwillingness to have the courage to be different, to do as Jesus asked, means that we drop our net over the side of the boat and wonder why it doesn't fill, why that way doesn't fill us. And if we don't love the unlovable, we fish only where we want to fish. But have you noticed? When we fish on that side, away from what Jesus asks, the net never fills. When we refuse to listen to Jesus' teaching, we do not contribute to building the kingdom. We may think of ourselves as strong and self-reliant, but the net never fills. The net never fills. Amen.